as I have been going through some of these last seven epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote, I see this as when I read Titus, it becomes very clear to me that it's we're living in times which are very similar to what was going in what they called the last days. So we think that it's very important for us to be spending time with those epistles that Paul wrote, lastly to those saints that Paul knew he was going to be ending his ministry, but that there were going to be others that were going to be following his instructions that were given directly to him from the Lord himself. So I do wonder, I have people who call me and confuse some of the other books that Paul wrote, the seven other epistles, and they seem to get those things mixed up. And so they'll hear terms like body of Christ, or terms that talk about the wages of sin is death, like in Romans. And so to me they get confused, and I try to avoid that and keep it simple by following and reading what I see to be in Paul's last seven books. So I haven't been through them all, but I've been through 1st, 2nd Timothy, and I've been through Titus, except for the chapter 3. And so that's where I'm going to be starting. I trust the Lord will keep our message clear, and that we'll be able to comprehend and understand what's being said. And especially applies the truth for today. And so I think it's very, very important. And it cleans up all the confusion that people have. And I try to make it clear, but it seems like they want to go back to Romans and 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. They try to go back to those books and get truth for today, and it only confuses them. So that's going to be my goal. So if you'll turn in the Bible to Titus chapter 3, we know that there are different people that were going to be taking over this message that the Apostle Paul was being given directly from the Lord himself. And so it's very, very clear what we should be understanding as truth for today. So it starts out by saying in Titus 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. So these things are very, very clear. They're bringing things up to date, or Paul is bringing things up to date on what, when he says put them in mind, it just means to have these truths are being directed to principalities and powers and magistrates to be ready to every good work. So they make very clear that the instructions that are being given here apply to us today. So putting in mind just means to either memorize it or be very sure or confident of what is being said. When it says that we're subject to principalities and powers, it means that we're subject to the governments that are over us here in the United States especially, that have truths that are being told directly to a person like Titus, who was going to be leading to follow these instructions and rightly dividing the word of truth. He says to obey magistrates. A lot of times we see that people want to ignore what the government and the people in power, what they have to say, or they confuse these things. Or when we know that the government is over us, and there are also people like the Apostle Paul who is over us, and then the Holy Spirit himself is over us and is giving us a direct communication to what the Apostle Paul was given to share with us. In verse 2 it says, to speak evil, it says of no man, but it's of no one, not necessarily male or female, but rather just people who are in the immediate, they're alive at the same time Paul is alive, and rather they need to follow these government rules that were given, and not to ignore them. He goes on in verse 3, it says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. So these are different instructions that were given at different times, like in the book of Romans and Galatians, or 2 Corinthians. And so those instructions that were true then are not necessarily true today. We know there are passages that talk about women being silent, and that they're not to speak. And we know we come across verses that talk about that men, husbands, are ahead of their wives. It doesn't mean we're overall women, all inclusive, but we know and read that they're being head over their wives, their own wives. And so the instructions that they're given are good rules, but they don't always apply to everyone. So why it says to speak evil of no man, it means that we should avoid talking about others and speaking about them in a way that could be negative. It says to be gentle. And gentle doesn't necessarily mean to be weak, but rather it means that we can say things in such a way that they're easy to hear and understand. He says showing all meekness. This word meekness, again, is not being weak, but rather it's speaking with strength. That's doing in such a way that others will listen. And it says also, again, here, I do all men. Well, all men are those that Paul has been addressing. They're in these last seven epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote and instructed. In verse 3 it says, but we ourselves are sometimes foolish. Well, what was being taught earlier, and to the Jews first, was no longer the rule now that God had his chosen nation, Israel. But we also know that God has the church, which is his body, that those people have been chosen, elected, predestinated. And so they're doing these things in a way that others can hear and conduct themselves in a way that others will realize this is the truth that the Lord wants us to know. There was a time when Paul had other messages who was foolish when they tried to apply him to the wrong people. says, there's sometimes foolish disobedience. In other words, we were obeying some truths that were no longer truths for today. Deceived, serving diverse, and that word diverse just means different. So there are different lusts that were perhaps acceptable at one time, but they're no longer acceptable now when it comes to body truth. It goes on to say, and the spirit of truth, he goes on to say they're serving diverse lusts. A lot of times that just means applying some religion that we shouldn't be practicing. So it says that we can be guilty of obeying the wrong set of rules. And so we need to write with God and not do that. He says serving diverse lusts and pleasures. And so we know there's some people that seek after things that are not fitting and proper for today. So he goes on to say, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. We always say we shouldn't necessarily hate others in the same manner in which they hate us, because it's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing these things in love. And we're supposed to avoid envy or being envious of what others have. It goes on to say in verse 4 that after that, the kindness and love of God, even our Savior toward man, appeared. So we know that God loves us, and we know that Christ loves us in the person of God. He knows that Paul knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is being our head. That we are to be loving as he loves, giving as he gave. And even his very, although we can't necessarily die for others, only Christ can do that because he's the only one that's worthy to do it. But it's important that when we are communicating, we are doing it with the same love that Christ has. And it says, and the love of God. And when it says our Savior, I always say even our Savior toward man appeared. So he's setting, and Paul is setting an example of the way that the Lord Jesus Christ treated others. Others that understand and know who's carrying on truth. So he goes on to say, we're doing this, this love of God, doing it in such a way that we can appreciate what Christ accomplished, what he has done. When we say that we are saved by Christ's finished work, that is exactly what we have. We're not saved by what we've done, but rather we are saved because what he has done. And he has done it in love. And he has done it with, really gave it all. He gave his very life. And as a result, we have life in Christ. So we go on to say in verse 5, not by works of righteousness. We have some people that like to brag about what they have done, what they have accomplished to be saved. The reality of it is, this righteousness that man does, the religion that he practices, doesn't really accomplish what the Lord did. Only the Lord could die Jesus Christ and to God the Father. And he goes on with the rest by saying, which we have done, so we shouldn't base our hope and calling on what we have done, but rather on what Christ has done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. And when we read that, according to his mercy, we know that only he could do it. Only he could accomplish it. It says he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We have in the King James the word Holy Ghost, but I think Holy Spirit really fits closer to the truth of who Christ is. Some of these titles that he has, he goes on to say in verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly. If you think about it, only Christ could accomplish it. And it's abundantly through Jesus Christ, even our Savior. Verse 7 says that being justified by his grace. Grace is unmerited favor, something that we don't deserve, something that only Christ can accomplish, and nothing that we can boast about. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And eternal life means life without end. It has the idea of its age abiding. And when you think about it, Christ will not have to die again, nor will he die again for us because it's not necessary. He says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying. A faithful saying is something you can bank on. And you can trust. You can believe that when he says it's faithful, that it's going to happen. He's going to complete it. He's going to do it. And we are in him. And he is in us. And as a result, no one can take that away from us. He says, I will. That thou affirm constantly. That means to think about it often and to believe it repeatedly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. We should act and think differently than what we have been doing before. Now that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, and he's accomplished being the sin offering, that we now have the same holiness that Christ has. We are in him, he is in us, and our thinking ought to be in that same manner. He says these things are good and they're profitable unto men. In other words, believe these things. Have faith in these things. I see the belief being stronger than in a faith that's increased when we think about it and believe the things that Christ accomplished, what he has done for us. So it says, which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So we have a reason to do it. We need to imitate or be imitators of what the Apostle Paul, how he was thinking and acting and believing. These things are good, profitable to all men. So some say that they don't believe in God. Some suggest they don't even need God. They can somehow, through their own good works, save themselves, which is impossible. He goes on to say, then God might be careful to maintain good works. So have that attitude, the same kind of attitude that Christ had. These things are good and powerful and to men. And verse 9 says, avoid foolish questions. We know that people pull things out of scripture, out of even different books that Paul wrote, and they apply those things, even though these things are foolish now, because they no longer fit now. He goes on to say, foolish questions and genealogies. They just spend a whole lot of time trying to trace down where they came from, who their parents are, how they're saved, why they're saved. These things are good and profitable and all, man. But foolish questions, genealogies, and contentions, they just seem like they take a lot of time, and they're kind of just a waste of time that we don't really need to need to be doing. These things are not important now. The things that are important is the Lord's genealogy, where he came from. He goes on to say, in contentions and strivings about the law. The law in and of itself is good, but nobody can keep it. Only Christ. And so us going around trying to keep the Ten Commandments is impossible. Only in Christ can we do that. He says, for they are unprofitable and vain. We all know we're sinners. We all know that we can't be saved without having the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and becoming our sin offering. He goes on to say in verse 10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. In other words, if you're going to get into these arguments and arguing about things that are not profitable, they're just a waste of time. And they take away our mind and our thoughts about who Christ is and what he's done and what he's done for us and how much he loves us. That's where our attitude and our mind ought to be focused on. And not on these things that we should just reject, not even repeat them. We don't need to argue with people that don't believe the truth. We need to explain the truth best we can. And rightly divide as best we can with the Lord's help, with the Spirit's help. And try to find others who are like-minded. Verse 12 says, verse 11 says, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself, arguing about things that we shouldn't be. Verse 12 says, when I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me, to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win her. So Paul was thinking about what the work, what the ministry was all about, and what he was to do with that, who he was supposed to address, who he was supposed to talk to, who he was supposed to instruct, and those ones that are bound and determined to just want to argue, we should ignore them. Verse 13 says, bring Zenas, the lawyer. In other words, there was a need, there was going to be a need to have this particular explaining, person to be able to explain, some of the rules that are new and different, that have been replaced. He says, and Apollos, on their journey, diligently. This means to work at it. It just doesn't mean to try to kill Philip, waste the time arguing with people, but rather instructing them what the Apostle Paul was being instructed and to share with others. He says that nothing be wanting unto them. In other words, if he does the right instruction to the right people, the ones that needed to hear this message, and if they got it, then we should recognize that. Recognize that they're working with the same goals in mind. Verse 14 says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses. What I've noticed as I've gotten older, that there are people who want to bring not rightly divide the way they should, but rather include some things that were for others that are not true now. So maintaining good works, it means doing the work that the Lord has given us to do. It says that they be not unfruitful. So it looks like to me like it's a good idea for us to think about the fruit. Is it what we're doing in our ministry? Is it being fruitful? Is the Lord honoring it? Is the Lord blessing it? Or not? If he's not, then our message is not being truthful, then we need to change the way we're doing it. It goes on to say in verse 15, all that are with me, salute thee. In other words, it seems to me like it's got to be the message that Paul was given is being spread with others that will hear it and well repeat it to others. I think it's a way of being able to speak to more people that want to know the truth, that want to follow after the truth, that want to have the love, and that want to have the faith, that want to have the grace. He says, grace be with you all. Amen. The word amen just means to be in total agreement with what the Apostle Paul is sharing with them. He says, in 15, all that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. It says this was written to Titus, ordained by the first bishop of the church of the Cretans from Nicopolis of Macedonia. So we can see that the rules have changed. That Paul was given the new rules and new instructions from the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Holy Spirit. So we need to do that. We need to practice that and rehearse it and try to find others that want to listen and want to hear. And it also said in verse 9 to avoid the foolish questions, the ones that just waste our time. But it gives us purpose. It gives us work to do. And by the way, work is good. It's a good thing. If it's good work, if it's a work to work that the Lord needs done, and he has chosen certain ones who are willing to believe it and follow after it, and try to find others that will do that too. I think it helps the idea to realize we're not in this all by ourselves. But we are in this fight. And we will keep this fight to continue to teach the truth, the mystery on truth, given to us through Paul and these other saints, like Titus, to practice the truth. So with that, I'm going to close. I feel like that when we meet again next time, that we'll be going to another, well, it's going to be on Tuesday. This is Paul. with the young brethren in Philemon. So it's other saint, other saints, and it's the book of Philemon that we're going to be looking at. But they have a very similar messages that Titus was being taught. So we do appreciate that the Lord has this rule up and shared it with others that are like-minded, and we can enjoy this work that the Lord has blessed us with, so that you and I can receive that hope, that calling. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. So we're not looking forward to the second coming. We're not looking forward to Israel's hope. We're not looking for the kingdom of heaven right here on the earth, but rather we're looking for the heaven far, far above all that the apostle was going to enjoy and that Christ was going to enjoy. Him in us, and us in him. What could be any better? What could be any better hope and calling than what the Apostle Paul was given to share through the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit's guidance and help to accomplish that which is needed in this day and age in which we dwell. So I'm going to close. Thank you all for listening. We trust that this has been helpful. We trust that you will try to put these things more into practice. The Apostle Paul was changing the rules somewhat to help us acknowledge what Christ has done, and that God, who is in us all, and we are in him, and we are complete in him. So I'm going to stop now. Thank you. Thank you for listening.